I gotta be honest, I don't really try to look back, because if you do, that's kind of just the path to nowhere. It's not like I'm like just super happy, I think, but I gotta be confident in what I wrote. Everything that I wrote, even like the warts and all, it's brought me to where I am now, and I am happy where I am now.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast. Your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road.
When all your skills are on cards and you crush rising stars, you're Honore.
Hi.
Hi. That was unexpected.
Thank you. This stupid joke has been in my head for a long time. Thank you for coming in.
No problem. That was worth the cost of admission right there.
The Crit RPG Podcast is a non-admission space. No one pays to be here. I mean, who would really?
Not yet. This time next year, you're going to be like, oh, it's sponsored by HelloFresh.
Actually, I might. I need money. We spoke about it before the show started. It's a bonus material, which you can get on Patreon, speaking of I need money. But yeah, I just recently quit my job, my main job, because it got too frustrating. And now I'm taking a bit of a hiatus and just writing and podcasting and doing all the fun stuff so that I can be fresh and relaxed when I descend into madness again.
Hey, congrats. You've made the big leap. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I can't live off of it, but I'll try.
Not yet, but you know, you never know. You never know until you try.
That's true. I'm very sure. If you haven't guessed it already, my guest today is Honore, author of Totem and All the Skills. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Great. I'm happy to be here. This is my first ever podcast, so exciting stuff for me.
You're doing amazing so far. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You're very relaxed. Most people are stumbling over their words, like I am, for example.
Well, just wait. We're about 3 minutes in, so just wait and then.
Okay, let's do that. Well, then to warm us up, can you tell us about each of your stories? So Totem and All the Skills, and then maybe how they fermented in your head.
Okay, so with All the Skills, it's definitely my most well-known one so far. It is a deck-building lit RPG. So basically what it is everybody has magical powers, all spells, all effects, you know, body enhancements, all the good stuff has been put into card form that people can switch in and out of various decks. So you have like a heart deck, which is like your main deck. The big one. And then you can have like various cheat decks and stuff that you can switch in and out Yu-Gi-Oh style without any, cool. Yeah, any consequences. So if you need a fireball, you can get like a fireball card and, you know, so on. It's never that easy because, you know, acquiring the cards is the big deal.
How do you get them? How do you get the cards?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The cards are, you know, the main fun for me, like inventing new cards, especially the stupider ones. But yeah, I like weasel calling, you know, you have the ability to charm weasels, you know, and stupid. It's a lot of fun. And then you have, of course, your serious cards, like the main character, Arthur. He has the ability to basically take every skill to kind of copy every skill. You know, once he does it, he gets automatically level 3 for the first time. And then he becomes, you know, just this automatic expert almost instantly. So it's a very OP skill. Mm-hmm. And of course he gets this as a little kid and it's just kind of him growing up with this OP card that he should not have and all the fun consequences that come from that. So that's All the Skills. It's always been kind of like swimming around in my head, this story, but I never really had it. A way to contextualize the magic. I wanted a guy who was like a jack of all trades, but I, you know, I kind of grew up with, you know, your regular fantasy. And it's just, I think the lack of boundaries made it very difficult to know how I was going to write this story. I think I was just too interested in like soft magic, you know, formats, like just like Harry Potter, where there was there was magic, but no real rules to the magic. And it kind of always stopped me as a writer. When I found Lit RPG, I realized that that could be quantified. And, you know, I don't go too far into the math like a lot of people do. I'm very bad at Excel spreadsheets, so I wasn't going to touch it. But When I realized that, I read books like Jake's Magical Market and Goblin Summoner. I realized it was like a light bulb went off. I'm like, wait, I can put this into a physical form. And that was what I needed to really start the story. So, yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love Lit RPG. It's kind of, it was finally the light that lit a fire under my butt to get it going.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then the second story is Totem. It's kind of getting started. It's wacky. What can I say? It's a bizarre story. It's my take on cultivation. If the writer was an idiot and didn't know much about cultivation, the guy, you know, how instead of defying the heavens, he decides, or he doesn't decide, he gets into a world where when you cultivate, you become your spirit animal, basically. And he wanted something cool. He wanted a tiger, a wolf, and he gets a Canadian goose.
Oh, no. So,
yeah. And so basically, it's going to be a story of him kicking ass as a goose. I'm hoping to finish the book in the first book in October. So, yeah, it's signed through Aethon. Yeah, so I can't believe they even took the chance on such a silly concept, but they did. So far be it from me to say no.
I think this might be the imposter syndrome talking again.
Yeah.
You are a good writer. So when I first started out on Lit RPG, I think all the skills just started out. And every second Reddit was like, hey, can you recommend me a book? And all the, like, all the skills was pretty good. So yeah, there you go.
Nice.
If so many people are saying it, it means you are a master trickster god and have fooled them all into liking your stuff.
Well, you know, I might be. You never know. If I was, I'd never admit to it.
Yeah, low-key trickster god.
Yeah, you know, Loki did spend some time as a female, so you never know.
Also as a horse, but let's not go to that.
Yeah, we're not going there.
We're not going there, no. This is a family-friendly podcast.
It would have made a really funny Marvel movie, though. Can't believe they didn't do it.
Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you, so you write two stories side by side. So the first question is, are you a writer full-time? And the second question is, how do you schedule your time?
Okay, so I am not a writer full-time. I actually do a manual labor job in the morning. I usually wake up around 4:30 and just go. I'm somebody who has a lot of energy, so I need to move a lot. And so basically, I usually work about 5 to 6 hours a day, but during peak season, like Christmas times, it's an 8 or 10 hour job. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I get off that and I come home and I usually write, I dictate, which makes it a lot easier for me. So if I typed, I don't think I could write as much as I do.
Which program are you using?
I use several. I use, this kills me inside, but I use Dragon Naturally Speaking 15 right now, but I've been changing it to Word because they're actually more accurate. It's killing me. I know. So what happens is Dragon, it gets the homophones wrong all the time, no matter what. It gets the grammar correct perfectly for me. But for some reason, I don't know, must be my SoCal accent. It just does not understand a lot of what I say, even if I train and do the profile management. But Word does it, but it doesn't do punctuation. So I write new line. Yeah. So if I say, like, you know, Arthur walked down the street, new line, period, you know, it would write out those words.
For me, it was always comma.
Yeah, comma, open quote.
He writes out, come on. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, it's really bad. So it does, it writes out the words open quote. Actually, it says up and quote, which is annoying. But, you know, it's nothing that can't be fixed and find and replace. And even with all that, Microsoft Word is still more accurate right now than Dragon 15, in my opinion. Yeah. And again, it kills me because I literally paid like $400 for Dragon 15 a few years ago, and it's still getting beaten by Word.
And it's even more expensive now, right? It still costs like €1,000.
Yeah, they just released Dragon 16. If you're buying it straight up, then it is, at least in USD, it is $799. I just checked this because I was curious about upgrading, and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, hell no. Mm. But if you currently have it, it is cheaper. So I recommend anybody who is interested in dictation to actually try Word. And then just find and replace. It's easy. It takes like 5 minutes. But it is really ugly when you look at it on the screen because it's just this block of text and half the punctuation is written out. It's intimidating to a lot of people. But once you do the find and replace, and then you go through it again and just fix the little nits here and there. You get a surprisingly clean copy most of the time.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that because I've been thinking about getting Dragon Go because I like dictating on the cell phone anyway. But because I have problems with my hand, so I've invested in a lot of like ergonomic keyboard and kind of bullshit like that. And yeah, we'll see.
It's a smart thing to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally recommend it for basically everybody. You know, you don't want to get RSI or carpal tunnel or whatever they're calling it nowadays. You know, we're writers. We want to do this long term. Mm. I can sit here and I could just yap, yap, yap without any impact to my body other than, you know, how I'm sitting. I totally recommend it. It is a steep learning curve, though. So you just got to be prepared for that.
That is very true. Yeah. I mean, as is typing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We just tend to forget about it because we learned when we were young.
It also depends like if how you learn to type, right? So if you're using the Eagle search and destroy method like then dictation will always be faster. But if you're using 1,000 spinal cord severed crammed hand style like I am, then probably you should think about it. It's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another thing with dictation is my words on my book is literally my voice. And that's important to me. I want to make sure that it is literally my author voice on there.
So, okay, I got a plan.
Sure.
Write a book, get a professional audiobook narrator to dictate it. And then you have a professionally dictated book.
I like it.
Yeah, then you can give it to an audiobook narrator so you can read it out again.
So several levels.
I think I'm missing something there, but I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I think it's a good plan.
It's the inception of dictation. I like it.
Isn't it? Now I'm thinking about, you know, like being like, I don't know, like Andrea Parsons' secretary or something. I have no idea.
I don't think that she would go for it. I think that she can pretty much write her own checks. But I think if you get somebody who's just starting out.
Oh, no. I mean, like, you know, like she dictates a book and I write it out for her. Like, yes, of course. Andrea, I'll do it.
That's better. I think I had it backwards.
Yeah, that was a very convoluted joke.
If you are a friend of the Kazoo ad, you have to be very, very strong now. I regret to inform you that Sherloon went and bought the tier that removes the Kazoo ad from all podcasts. And now it's gone. So you got Sherloon to thank for that. On the other hand, if you want to add the Kazoo ad again, there's a tier for that too. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get on with the show.
Okay, so we were talking about Totem, actually, mostly, when we got into this like weird tangent of writing schedules. But okay, so actually, that's still the point I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
How do you divide your time between the two books? Don't you get them mixed up or something?
So, I know I'm supposed to say, as a professional writer, open quote, close quote, professional writer, that I have a schedule, but the truth is that I write what I feel like writing at that moment. So basically, you know, as I'm traveling to and from work, I'm thinking, okay, what do I want to write? You know, instead of paying attention to the road, I'm thinking, what do I want to write that day? Mm-hmm. And usually it's all the skills. I mean, you know, that's my main mm-hmm. baby. But when I get home, I write what I'm most excited about. And so what I do is I write in 10-minute gaps. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but in 10 minutes, you can get 700 words. So, and it doesn't really impact your throat because after a while, it will. And that affects your dictation. It affects the quality. So 10-minute gaps, 10 minutes, 5 minutes off, 10 minutes, and then 5 minutes off. And usually I will finish a chapter of all the skills and then I'll sit there and I'll write out what I want for the chapter of a totem based on the outline that I already have. So I have my master outline and I refer to that. And then I try to like write out basically a quick summary, usually like 2 or 3 paragraphs, takes a couple of minutes. And then I start again with a totem. Just and that gap kind of gets me into a different mindset because all the skills, first of all, it's in third person past tense. Arthur is a completely different character than Seth, the guy in Totem. The guy in Totem is sarcastic and he's first person as well. So you have to be in a different mindset for the two. So that break really helps. So just, you know, people watch different TV shows. You can totally do different books. It's just basically, I don't know, for me, it feels the same.
Oh, that's a good, very good point.
Yeah.
I had a question regarding to that. I think it was Do you also have a master outline for all the skills, or is that just something you come up with?
Oh, no. I have a master outline. Sometimes the characters don't agree with the master outline, you know, as they're wont to do. Yeah. So basically I go through and I do a major outline, you know, the major beat by beat outline through the book. And as I go, it is always evolving because, you know, fun things happen sometimes and I'm not going to ignore them just because it wasn't in the outline. Like, for example, I don't know if I should give spoilers, but there is a character that randomly spawned. Her name is Joy, and she's just like this cute little dragon and very just bubbles and sunshine. And, you know, she was supposed to be a completely different character in the master outline. You know, she was supposed to be more of a, I'm going to date myself here, but a Daria character.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, from like MTV, like a very like sarcastic and sardonic, very low tone character. And, you know, I wrote the first chapter for that. And she was kind of supposed to be like the annoying comment, not annoying, excuse me, the meta commentary kind of character. Like, you know, the stuff that you're sort of thinking about while the narrative is going, but you don't say because it's not within the characterization. And it just wasn't working. It felt too dour. And so I went back and I changed her to the complete opposite, preppy. She basically became the Quinn, the sister of Daria, the very happy, preppy girl. And it didn't really change the plot so much, but it, at least not in the first few chapters, but later on, you know, those things cascade and you just change the outline as it goes. It's a living document. You can just change it and it's no big deal. And yeah, basically that's how it goes.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I've been thinking about how to fix that, the characters going off the rails, but I got a few ideas.
Yeah, it just got to let it happen. Sometimes I don't want to get like too woo-woo, but you know, your subconscious really knows what's what. And sometimes you just have to follow that because we're all storytellers. And if a lot of times what people call writer's block is they're just fighting against what their subconscious is telling them. And they're just saying no. They're using the logical part of their mind to fix a non-logical problem, and it doesn't work for a lot of people. So
that's a very good point. Emotionally, one trick I've been thinking about doing is taking pivotal moments and then writing them, not beforehand, but kind of hearing what your character might feel about them.
Yeah.
Not a foolproof method, because your character's emotions evolve over the course of the book, but yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, later on, they might have more baggage than when you originally wrote it. But no, that's totally the legit way to go about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, thank you so much. This is really, really great stuff so far.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I mean, we're already kind of like bordering into that. What's some good or what's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer?
You know what? I really recommend. There's this lady. Her name is Catherine Rush. Catherine something Rush. Ugh, I'm terrible. I've actually seen her live in a conference, and she did this talk at 20 Books to 50K conference for writers. And she basically writes, it's like The Dangerous Pursuit of Perfection or something like that. And I absolutely 100% recommend it. Of course, you know, it's midnight. I'm not thinking correctly, but
I'm sorry.
It's called The Pursuit of Perfection. If you do that and then type out Catherine Rush on Google, you will find she does these free blog posts. And I absolutely recommend it because basically she goes through and she says, you don't need to rewrite. You'll kill your story, basically, if you rewrite it 50 times. We're not talking about editing, because of course everybody edits, you know, don't just like throw a first draft up on Amazon or anything. But what, especially...
You can do that on Railroad, but not on Amazon.
You can do that on Railroad. That's what Railroad's for. No, I do recommend that you don't do it on Railroad too, but you don't. There is definitely a line where you write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite, and it absolutely kills the story. So don't do that.
It's like chewing your food too much.
Yes. Yeah. It's like putting it in a blender and then trying to drink it. It's not going to be great.
Yes. If anyone who's ever had their wisdom teeth removed knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Great. The best of times. Really.
Yeah. Everyone's gone through that. But yeah, you know, so basically my advice is to not, as you say, overchew the story and just let it go, warts and all. Senatorial Road. Again, you know, you want to respect your readers. You want to make sure that it is not full of typos. My story is full of typos, but that's a me problem. But generally, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you have thought about the story a little bit, that you're just not spamming nonsense out there. But so many writers, they will take it down, then redo it, and then put it back up, and then take it down and redo it, and they never go forward. And you want to make sure that at some point you just want to let it go and just let it be free.
I have some friends who might benefit from this advice. So if any of my friends, you know who you are, go and read that book. Smiley face.
There is one other one that I'm thinking about. It's actually by Catherine Rush's husband, Dean Wesley Smith. And he does Heinlein's Five Rules of Business Writing. And it's pretty much the same thing. This guy is a very crusty old man. If you watch him on YouTube, he has a whole bunch of videos. He's hilarious. He has no F's to give, but he knows his business writing. And basically he has these five rules, which I cannot remember by heart, but basically you have to write it, you have to publish it, and you have to keep it on the market, and like two more. And they're very simple, but they're very hard to follow. And you can, I mean, I tried to do that and I feel like I've had some success. So I recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, some success. Just throw up your Patreon here. 2,133 Patreons on 124 posts. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, how many? Do you have 4.9 stars on Amazon? I forget.
Something like that.
Yeah, because, yeah, right. You have so many typos and your story is like so weird. Like, really.
Well, the fact is that I pay people now to fix those typos. So
there you go.
Yeah. I know those poor patrons. We were talking earlier, I think before the recording, but yeah, those poor patrons, they have to deal with the alpha version.
By the way, if you want to listen to that conversation where Honor Ray says, incredible stuff that you will be shocked to hear this, just do BuzzFeed stuff, you can click on my Patreon. I have two patrons right now.
You wouldn't believe what I said next.
Yes, exactly. 10 things that Honor Ray said about geese that will surprise you.
Number 8 will get her canceled.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. But yeah, there's enough of me shilling out.
No. That's what we're here for.
No, we're actually here to have a conversation. The whole Patreon thing is just a very nice bonus. But I'm doing these because I actually love talking to people, to writers. Do you know, everyone knows Seinfeld, but do you know the show The Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, he mentioned this one thing where he's at a party and it's super boring, some sort of Oscar thing or whatever. And he like sees someone and goes like, comedian, and like rushes to him, like grabs him by the arm, comedian. And sometimes I feel like that when it's about writing, right? So I'm going to all these parties and I'm hanging out with people and being all quiet, and like sitting on the corners, nursing my drink, like fending off women with a stick as I usually do.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. And
oh, you're fine.
No, it's cool. I wasn't joking. But writers have this different perspective on things. And that's why I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it is, no matter how many people I talk to, no matter how many writers I'm talking to, it's great every single time.
Well, I appreciate it. And yeah, I totally agree. Before really I knew about Discord and stuff, I used to go to NaNoWriMo meetups and it was the same thing. It was like my people.
My tribe.
Yeah.
You should have a character in Totem where his spirit animal is a writer.
Nice. I got to think of what animal that would represent. Something nerdy with glasses.
Cats.
Cats.
The patron saint of cats is also the patron saint of writers, I think.
You know, that makes sense. With Totem, I try to make people like the non-standard like characters, like there's a crane woman and stuff, but I got to put at least a cat in there and then you'll know that's the writer.
Actually, no, that's wrong. I was thinking of Francis the SEC, but patron saint of writers and journalists is actually Francis de Sales.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Well, what animal is he? Is still a cat?
I have no idea.
Philip Pullman, you know, his Dark Materials series with the demons and stuff. I believe I saw a interview and I'm probably misremembering, but I think that he said that his would be a cat because, you know, he sees that as like the quiet intellectual, the quiet writer. So yeah, All right, we'll go with that.
Okay, yeah, I know. Maybe a squirrel.
Nice. I always thought mine would be a magpie. I don't know why.
A magpie?
Well, actually, I do, but it's probably not. Okay.
We can talk about it in the bones material.
Oh, okay.
10 things about magpies. Now, you're talking about editing, and you're talking about not like chewing your food until it's dust. But yes. Is there something you would go back to in works you've already published that you would change?
Oh, that's a really good question. I know I get a lot of complaints that the first act of all the skills is slow, but I like it. So no, I wouldn't change that. No, I got to be honest. I don't really try to look back, because if you do, that's kind of just the path to nowhere. It's not like I'm like just super happy. I think if I had a document on one side of my screen and I had to rewrite it, I'm not going to say that there'd be no changes whatsoever, because there'd probably be changes every other sentence. But sitting here and thinking back, I guess it's arrogant, but I got to be confident in what I wrote. So I'm going to say no. Everything that I wrote, even like the warts and all, it's brought me to where I am now. And I am happy where I am now. Although I will say that going forward, you know, there are things, there are lessons that I want. Like I would have probably, oh great, now I'm going down that road, darn it. I probably would have done something different with the character Horatio, made him a little bit of a different character for a plot that's coming up, which I won't talk about. But, you know, all that stuff, you can still change. Again, it's a living document. So I have plans to kind of fix that issue and change it in a future chapter. So everything that I didn't like in the past, I can still change in the future, in a future book, in a future arc. So I guess it's just the optimist in me. Whatever problem there may have been had, you can still fix it in the future, if that makes sense. It's an unsatisfying answer, but it's just,
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I just don't want to look back too much and navel gaze, because then you can kind of get stuck in that mindset.
What about the future then? If you were starting a new book, what would you keep in mind?
I would definitely kind of keep in mind the tropes of lit RPG. Because, you know, when I first started with all the skills, it was just, it's the story of my heart. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, as I said, I had this idea for this fantasy story where this guy becomes jack of all trades. And lit RPG gave me the vehicle for that. But now, you know, I've fallen in love with the genre. I've read widely in the genre. And I think I would just keep in mind more tropes. I would have a more combat-oriented character, which I am doing with Totem. So maybe Totem is a little bit my answer to that. Somebody who has more battles, who's a little bit more assertive than Arthur. Arthur, when he's faced with a problem, he's not the type of guy who will fight it head on. He's more subversive of a character, and he will kind of think about the problem and usually try to fix it with more of a soft power. Like, you know, his main thing is like gambling. He is a gambler, but he's a smart gambler. Where Seth, the guy from Totem, will just be like, yeah, let's just poke this with a stick and see what happens. So I think the genre probably likes a guy more like Seth than Arthur in that case. But it depends on the plot, because you build your character based on what the plot needs to. Or should I say the character fits his world?
The character fits his world, right? You're right. Yeah.
So it kind of depends a little bit on the world, yeah.
Or if you're a pantser, I guess the character is the plot.
Yeah. Yeah. One good thing about pantsers is, you know, they are so character focused and you are following along with the character. So that's, you know, their huge strength.
Cool.
With, I don't call myself a pantser, but basically with people who do plot things out, you know, that is a danger that you have to make sure that your character does remain foremost and that you aren't having the plot drive it forward. You have the character drive it forward, even if you are looking at an outline of the plot. So that's something that a lot of people get in trouble with, I've noticed, including me. I've caught myself doing that a lot. Like, you know, when I look back at a chapter, when I'm editing, I'm like, yeah, okay, Arthur probably wouldn't make this decision. This is the plot making the decision. So I have a side character make the decision for him.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. The main character can't do everything, so you got to have the side character shine a little bit.
Excuse me? Your book is called All the Skills?
Yeah. He's still learning, though. He has a chance to be OP, so he's still gaining all those lovely levels.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I mean, both your books sound pretty good. You're saying Totem isn't out? No, Totem isn't out yet, right? Totem is still coming.
No, Totem is... Oh, boy. Yeah, Totem is out on Royal Road. First, I don't know, it's in the teens chapter right now. I put a pause on it just because I've been moving. Yeah, I just bought a house and I had to choose one baby. And so I threw one out and that was Totem. But I'm going to go back to it real soon and it will start posting again. Yeah, you can read the first quarter of the first arc right now on Royal Road. Yeah, so I did a Sophie's Choice and Totem was the choice. Mm-hmm. So I threw them out. But yeah, I'm going to return to that pretty shortly now that I've gotten settled in and stuff. You know, I have these grand plans like, oh yeah, moving's only going to take 2 weeks and I can I can work and I can move and all the furniture and arrange all the things and also write two books at the same time. And it turned out, no, I could not.
Yeah, I got a neighbor, wonderful, sweet person, and she got a kid last year. And she said, well, it's going to be so fine. I can just like work and the kid's going to sleep next to me and it's going to be super fine. And like, I meet her like 5 months after. And she's like, I can't. The kid's not sleeping and I'm not working.
Yeah. My sister just had a baby and I was actually, you know, helping out a little bit because you need help, you know, family and stuff. And man, they take up a lot of time.
Right. Yeah. It's like a full-time job almost.
Yeah, they're not kidding. I mean, I always heard it, but I didn't believe it until I saw it. Well, I mean, yeah, that's general knowledge. It just didn't hit me until I saw it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't have any kids, but...
Yeah, same, but...
Yeah, it's like, why? Like you're saying, right? My books are my babies.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on it, but I don't think the readers have to worry about it for some time. So, you know, we're okay.
No okay, worries. Good. More shocking details.
I know, right?
In the bonus material.
They're probably going to be like, oh, wait, Honor is a woman.
Actually, I think some people might be.
Yeah. I don't really go. I mean, you know, obviously, I don't like try to hide it or anything, but I'm not on Reddit like, if you want a female author, then look at my book. It's so cringy.
Yeah, I think it's also counterfeminist, but I'm not qualified to say that, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to go there too, but yeah.
I'll shut up about it. Yeah. I'm not qualified. There you go. Yeah. Okay, I just lost 50 subscribers with that comment, I think.
So. Yeah, that was the one that got me canceled. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I promised it. There it was.
Yeah. Okay, segment end. Another cut segment. No, it's pretty good. Do you want to talk about books or shows or games, I guess, that inspired you?
Yes. I mean, obviously, it's going to be mostly books and shows. I got to be really careful with games because I do have kind of an obsessive personality where I will start a game and then wake up 5 months later and be like, oh, what happened? Where am I? This is not my wet picket fence. So I have to be super careful with that. I learned that at a young age. So pretty much books and TV, like obviously Avatar, Last Airbender has been a huge, you know, thing in my life. Anybody who's read my books, obviously Dragon Riders of Pern is a big one. But also Mercedes Lackey's books, the Valdemar books, they are corny as an adult, but man, they still work. It's crazy. It's like, if you've ever read those, these people have magical horses. If you're a girl, then you read those books. But
oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think they're released in Germany. So.
Oh, he probably didn't miss much. They're not great literature. But what I really enjoyed about them is a sense of optimism. And especially in this day and age, I really feel that's important. It's so easy, especially as an author, to go the cynical route with every little thing because it's a plot, you know. If you have cynical people, then you have people plotting and plotting is plot. And then, you know, you have people you don't trust and you can throw in red herrings everywhere. It's just really, really tempting to make everything cynical. But I don't know, it's more satisfying as a reader when you make people good. And it really seems to take people by surprise too. It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, at one point I had a healer character come in and everyone's like, she's going to rifle through Arthur's mind and she's going to expose all of his secrets. No, this healer was just there to heal. She was there to help. She's like, hey, I'm worried about your emotional health.
That's so nice. Yeah, we can talk about this after the show in the bonus material. I talk to you about something. Okay, the thing with the games, totally get it.
Yeah.
It's why I had to stop gaming altogether almost. Legit, I notice if I get like a good game, it's like crack and I can't stop. And it's actually digging into my writing time. And that's why I stopped. Huh. Or I am continuously stopping over and over again because it's just not relaxing anymore. I have a better way to, you know, like dream all these power fantasies by writing books.
Yeah. And it kills me inside because there's great games out there and you see people having fun. And I'm not, I feel like an addict, but I'm not one of those people who can have fun in that same way because I can't stop. Once I can't finish, like if the plot is not finished, it eats at me and I will like not sleep. Well, I mean, I'll sleep, but I won't sleep as much as you should. And it will just eat into my social time. And it's just not healthy whatsoever. I think the last one that I really, really got into was RuneScape back in the day. My grades were going down as a kid. And I'm like, okay, I got to shut this off. This is just not good.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection until I finished college. So when X-Fire was still a thing, I had 10,000 hours in World of Warcraft.
Oh, that got so many people. I had a supervisor who almost lost literally his marriage because of World of Warcraft. That was a powerful one.
So I never happened to begin with. So, okay, to make the connection, right, to make this actually relevant, what I like about Lit RPG so much is that the books have an end.
Yes.
I mean, some of them do. Yeah. Looking at you, Trotloon, Zorgarth, First Defiler, Matt Dinneman. No, these are also freaking great, right? Because they just keep going and they keep immersing you in that fantasy. I'm not saying that about books. Absolutely not. I was joking and saying that. I kind of like wish books had like an easy end so I could stop reading them all the time, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I listen to audiobooks and I've run into that problem where I've stayed up way too late to listen to audiobooks. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not hundreds of hours. It's tens of hours. So it's, I tell myself that's okay, but it does scratch the same itch as the video games, which I love. So that's another reason to love Lit RPG.
I'm looking sometimes at like shorter video games. So the connection that I wanted to make was, and to just ask you if you agree or if you have anything to add to that, would be to Lit RPGs are so great because they combine the storytelling and this dopamine loot spiral.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. You know, I think that there is a healthier way and just more of a fun way to, again, scratch that same itch. Because when you hit that new level, you do, it's like hitting a loot box that actually is worth it.
Yeah, and exactly.
You didn't have to spend the money, which is even better.
Okay, so new railroad feature. In order to actually get a skill, you're going to have to pay the loot box in the text. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, now you're going to give Kana and Wing ideas.
No, I think they're all good on ideas right now. I think they're all good. Yeah, I don't know when the show's coming out. So anyway.
You know what's really bad is I found myself not watching. Well, I don't have a lot of time on my hands because I'm writing or working, but I haven't found myself watching a lot of TV shows recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know if my attention span's going down, but I'm just loving YouTube. I think it's just the spontaneousness of something that's not scripted.
Yes, and it's also the shorter format. When I'm done with a day, so I'm not working right now, but when I was still working, it was even worse. Mm-hmm. So I am legit thinking about story the entire day. Either I'm writing or I'm plotting or I'm talking to other people and helping them plot because that's what I love. But at the end of the day, after editing all the podcasts and everything, I just want to shut my brain off.
Yeah.
And I'm watching like other people play League of Legends.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's another way to, I mean, that's another great way to enjoy a video game without getting kind of sucked down that vortex. Mm. Oh my God, I went through an Among Us binge for like 9 months. It was great. But right now, it's like with YouTube, I found, especially watching certain followers that seem to like be getting the, you know, kind of exploding slowly, they are also doing plot very subtly in their stories. There's one guy I watch called Goldshaw Farm. I don't even know why I watch him. I'm not into farming or homesteading, but I still watch him. And he does like a little story format. It seems very subtle in each one of his stories. He'll have a theme about like his favorite cat. And then he'll talk about how the cat goes through the farm. And it has small highs and lows and he'll end it. Mm. And somehow it's very addictive and it really works.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds pretty dope. Speaking of addictive, I want to use my two shout-outs on this. So we were talking about video games and the RPG and this loot spiral. And two books that do this very, very well. I've shouted them out many times, mentioned them many times before. But it's The Ripple System by Kyle Curran. And it's, I personally think, one of the best loot spirals in this year yet. is Death, Loot, and Vampires.
You know what time it is? That's right, it's a new ad. And this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out. First one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one. So go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. Guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time.
By Ben Caray.
Those are on my to-be-read list. I have one fan who just loves Kyle Curran. I keep teasing the guy. I'm gonna read it. And I haven't yet.
Take the audiobook.
Okay.
It's Travis, so you know what's up. But I think you will really like it. If you're into video games, or like you like MMORPGs.
So that is on my to-be-read list. I guess I'll bump it up. I was going to listen to Path of Ascension 3 next. But one thing that I've done, man, Primal Hunter, I can't believe you got Zogarth. I'm kind of fangirling a little bit next. But yeah, he does those so well. I was listening to number 3 like about a week ago while I was moving, actually. And man, he is very good at that payoff. And you think that, you know, Jake can't go any higher, and then he does. It's really good. Another one that I don't hear a lot of people talking about, it's All Trades by Shane Walker. And he's a little bit more comedic. He doesn't do the payoff as well, but he does a very good stuck in a video game. And it's humorous, but it has heart and it has a lot of ambition. The guy's only ambition is to create the best corporation inside the video game. And he does the kind of like the jack of all trades thing. So I might have been inspired.
Who's the author?
Shane Walker.
Shane Walker. And it's called All Trades?
All Trades. He has like 4 books out.
That wasn't on Railroad, was it?
I think it was originally. I'm not sure if it's still being updated. The audiobook was made by narrated by Nick Podell. So it's really good quality. I'm not sure if he's still narrating. I think he actually switched narrators now I'm thinking about it. But still good quality. Still good writing.
Huh, okay. Because the cover is not standard Royal Road at all.
No, it's very generic. And I think that's why it's overlooked. But it's a good story. And it looks like it was during the first wave when everybody was doing, yeah, I'm going into a video game. And that's kind of died off now.
Yeah. Right now it's System Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Cultivation was a thing for a while.
It still is. I mean, we have that really good one. Of course, now I can't think of it. It was like First Cultivation or Rule of Cultivation that came out a few weeks ago. That was really good. And of course, Beware Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Although that was an anti-cultivation. It's just fun.
Yeah. In later books, it becomes a bit more cultivation-y. But yeah, it's the curse of the anti-establishment book, I feel. One of my friends hosts Merchant Crab. Yeah, you can cross that off of your bingo list. He mentioned that he never expected Merchant Crab to become this big. He loves writing it. He enjoys writing it, but he never expected it to become this big. So you're just along for the ride. But sometimes that means, I imagine at least, that you don't have the plot planned out for this long and you want to keep writing it, but you just need to like change the plot in a way, and it's always dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of coming up for all the skills. I plotted out 5 books and soon I'm going to have to make that decision. Do I end it at 5? Do I keep it going? And I think I've kind of stressed about it for a bit. And I think I'm going to kind of make my decision on the 4th book. I want to end on a strong note though. I don't want to be one of those people who just keeps going and with no point to it.
So I'm not saying that, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're not throwing shade at anybody. I'm just saying that is something that is absolutely a concern when you are an author, especially for these long serial type stories. You know, at what point do you say, okay, my character's reached the top? Cradle ended at a great point.
That was 12 books.
Yeah, 12 books. I mean, that's great. And they all had a point to them. Maybe not Skyshorn, but the rest of them had a point to them.
Not throwing shade, except for that book.
Well, he can afford it. He's fine. Yeah. Will White's not going to be crying in his tea because I said something about that.
Yeah. Will, if you're listening to this, you can come on this podcast and throw shade at Honoré.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Maybe I can also get Zogarth to throw shade at you. Kind of like, senpai noticed me.
Oh, he would know that for free. He would do that for...
He's a really cool dude so far. In the response to the podcast invitation that I sent him, he sent me an ASCII image of Shrek. I have no idea what to expect.
I've talked to him a couple of times, we chat on Discord, whatever, a couple of times. He is a really nice guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Oh, yes. A question that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
That I totally forgot about. Is this your first book, All the Skills? Did you just like wake up one morning and start writing this?
No. I ghostwrote for a long time. Ooh. I ghostwrote romance for a long time.
Ooh.
So what happened was I had a work accident and I was laid up and I was like, oh, I still need to put food on the table. So I'd been writing fan fiction since I was 12. I was never a good student. I did not go to college. So I was like, oh, I have no other skills other than what I can do with lifting things. So through a friend of a friend, I learned about ghostwriting. I have to be careful because I'm actually under NDAs, but the client, I gave a sample of what I can write and he said, all right, here you go. And I was writing a book a month for about 18 months.
What?
Yeah. How? For not very good pay.
How?
Well, you know, when you're laid up and you were like, oh, I have bills, then you write. And that's how I got really good at dictation as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't consider that. It wasn't my writing. They're not my books. I never even actually looked them up to see how they were doing on Amazon, although I continue to have a job. So I assume okay. And yeah, so that just was really a crash course in how to write a book. Now, with that genre, it was very to formula. And obviously, I was with an outline. So it was not, I was just the vessel to put the words out. It was nothing of me that was on the page, basically, or very little. But I still learned a lot. Because I never really learned a lot in school about grammar or anything. I went to very bad schools and they didn't really teach that. And then when I went to fan fiction, with fan fiction, the culture is not to offer criticism. So I never really got that. So this was basically my feet to the fire and I learned and kind of crucible and I learned how to write.
Okay.
But the first book I wrote for myself is All the Skills. And I consider that my first book, although there was a heck of a lot of practice at a time.
It's cheating.
A little bit.
Your first book is supposed to suck.
Well, it might have. I don't know. But I still sold it. Officially, I guess my first book was the ghostwritten book. It's a little bit of a shame because, you know, you're supposed to like celebrate your first book. But I didn't. I was just so like, okay, on to the second.
I think it's legit. Yeah. I think it's legit to say, hey, that's not my book, because ghostwriting is basically someone giving you a note and then you expand on that note. And I think it's only your book if you came up with the idea.
Yeah, that's really how I feel. Yeah. I mean, that's what, again, I feel like I was the vessel and I was just sitting there. It kind of felt like almost a day-to-day job, I hate to say.
Oh, no, that's a very good comparison.
Yeah. I did my best. I mean, I'll be honest. I did my best and I tried to do the best prose I could and tried to put the best characters I could out there, but they were not my characters. It was somebody else's characters. And I was just trying to do the best I could with them. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. New books. One new book that you love?
One book that I love that I've read recently.
Yeah. Basically, tell me about one great book that you recently read and tell me why it's awesome.
Path of Ascension. I've really gotten into that. So I think that the authors described it as basically cultivation with a lit RPG t-shirt on. And that's accurate. The guy does, I don't know this guy, I'm assuming here. Me assuming, but he does really great characterization and he kind of goes into the character motivations, but he doesn't wallow in them, which I find to be very refreshing. So while you go into the nitty gritty of the character, you don't get stuck there. And the plot is fun. There is a really fun system that he has. It makes sense. It's logical. It's just, it's almost a perfect book.
It's a very, very good book. Yeah. I like the start, even though it was kind of a little bit meandering at the beginning. It's like, okay, where is this going? But then it got really good.
Yeah, the first few chapters, I listened to an audiobook and I was like, with Lit RPG, you have to be kind of there for the ride, it feels like.
It's the rule. The first half of every Lit RPG book, you have to quote unquote get through.
Yeah.
Which is why when you're writing one, it's super important to kind of give the reader a expectation of, okay, this is going to happen in the future.
Yeah. I've been tempted, like, while plotting to do one of those, I'm probably going to say it wrong, in media res books where, you know, you just basically, you start from the action and then you do one of those record screeches and you go back and like, here's how I got there, you know, but that's so cheap because I think that probably the lesser of the two evils is just to have the slow start if you need to, just build it up and just make sure that when you get to that point, that's fun, that it's fun, that it's worth it, you know?
Or you can do what I'm doing. You start in media res and don't explain everything.
Well, if you start in media res and you just, and you don't go back, then you're just starting the book then.
God damn it.
No, but that's a good way to do it though. I've seen it happen where someone drops a character like right in the middle of it and then people are intrigued and they want to continue. That's a legit way to do it too. There's no one true way to do it. And anyone who tells you that there is are lying or selling you something.
Again, cutting this part out. Yeah. I've been getting comments like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on in this book. We've been thrown in media res, in media res. Like, I got like a kind of negative review on this. So no, like, definitely right in some respects.
Yeah.
The criticism, right? Because I don't explain myself really well and I don't give that promise at the beginning, right? I'm not telling you, okay, this is a story about how this is going to be awesome, right? So
yeah.
I think maybe that's a mistake that you can make as a writer.
I mean, it can be, but again, if you have readers who are still with you along the ride, is it a mistake or are you just filtering out the readers who are not right for you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course, if it's really eating at you, of course, go back and fix it. You could always fix that with a paragraph or two or just like little hints along the way. But I don't know. Again, it feels like you have to kind of trust the process a little bit and you don't want to overthink things too much. You don't want to overchew. Yeah, it's tough. There's never one good answer.
I need to define for myself like a certain like level of this is an acceptable number of people to drop off if chapter.
Yeah.
Because I have some chapters where people just like 10% just drop off. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
I gotta be honest, I don't look at that stuff. I never have, even though I pay for like the advanced analytics and Railroad, I'd never look at it. Because it would drive me up the wall and I'd be second guessing everything.
We're so much alike, except that I do. And I'm doing exactly that.
Yeah, you just don't want to get bogged down because then it really eats at you. You know, we're authors, artists, we're sensitive souls. So you just got to protect that a little bit. I do read my reviews, which maybe you shouldn't, but I do. And that's, and of course, my comments on Railroad, even if I don't reply still, I think that's actually the reader's space. For the most part, I still read it, but I try not to kind of let it get past the tough skin, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard. It's an art. And I try to say what I do, but sometimes I don't follow it.
Well, yeah, it's tough sometimes.
You would think that sitting down and writing would be something easy, but it's really tough. It's just tough mentally. It's tough emotionally. It's tough spiritually. So it's not easy.
Because your brain's making so many connections that you need to actually write down.
Yeah. Yeah. And your brain is working. I don't know. I get hungry after like a writing session. It feels like I've actually like burned calories. So.
Yeah, exactly. It burns a lot of calories. You need to have a good diet. It's a job. And so most of us are doing this job on top of our normal jobs. So.
Yeah, I could quit at this point, but the problem is my job is union and pension. So, I mean, you don't see that a lot of times nowadays. So it's a big ask. So I'm still working.
You're also saying you're an active person, so you like the physical activity. That's nice.
Yeah, I'd have to like really replace it with some hardcore gym. If not, or else I'd just start going crazy.
Move to Germany. Where you have like all this shit for free.
Yeah, the land of promise. The land of promise, Germany.
Didn't you just buy a house?
I did, so I probably shouldn't sell it right away. I think
No.
I think that my family would kill me.
So. Yeah, also like no, like Germany is fine, but
I've heard good things, honestly. And I've heard real good things about the beer, so
for now.
Maybe.
Oh, you've been listening to the Jolly episode. Now for the fun part. Shout outs.
Like people I've been reading and stuff?
Yes. I mean, we've talked about many of them already.
Okay.
But do you have anyone you would shout out? Any, probably even like people maybe not have read as much. before.
Well, yeah, I think I'm not sure if we're going to, as I said earlier, I'm not sure if it was kept, but I definitely recommend the All Trade series by Shane Walker. He is really good. Again, Path of Ascension, I've been really digging recently. Gosh, you know what? I've been kind of going to the standards at the last few months. Of course, Primal Hunter, it does deserve all the accolades that's been getting. I'm on book 3, so I mean, I don't know, maybe it falls off, but until then, it's been really good. But no, it's been real good. It's surprisingly good, especially with the quality of the system. I was really impressed with that. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I wish I had my phone with me at this second. I can just look up my Audible because I spend so much on it. It's my wallet cries. You know, of course, Beware of Chicken. That's a lot of fun. Everybody knows about that. I'm trying to think of something really surprising. You know what I really like? I really liked Lotus Lake by Jace Boyce. She's an interesting writer. She writes characters that you think that you would hate, like Mary Sue's, that you really should hate, and yet they're just so fun. I don't know what her secret sauce is, but I really enjoy that. That and The Touch of Power. Her characters are so OP. They are just insane. It's like watching Superman walk around. And you'd think that'd be boring, but she makes it so interesting. And it's like watching a little soap opera. I think she does very good with the characterization, even though her characters are so OP that it shouldn't make sense. So I do recommend her.
So this is Jay Boyce?
Yeah, Jay Boyce. I probably said Jace, but Jay Boyce. Yeah, the Touch of Power series and Lotus Lake series. I think that she's writing another Lotus Lake soon, so I'm excited about that. That's one of those old school. Okay, so basically what happens is the character goes back in time 5 years, and instead of like fixing her life or whatever, she's like, you know what? I'm going to do this video game even better. And that's what she does. It's hilarious. So, you know, and again, it works.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah. And the Touch of Power is your basic isekai where she, you know, she's like this disabled girl and it never really explains what the sickness is. She's just, quote, sick. And then she goes into this world where she basically becomes Superman super easy, barely an inconvenience. Yeah. It's a few books of that. It's fun.
Yeah, I already shouted out Ripple System and Deathwood and Vampires, but people like most likely have read that and they most likely know that. Another book that I'm reading right now that I really enjoy, and I need to get the name right, so give me a second here.
Sure.
Is it called Fragments of Reality?
Oh, I just thought of one too. Give me like a second here.
First book of the Edge Cases series, Fabric of Reality by Silver Linings.
Okay, Fabric of Reality.
That is a really cool systems broken what's up novel. I think someone described it as noble, grim noble, or noble dark. Noble dark, I think. I really like that kind of thing. So if it gave me a vibe of that video game called The Last Spell.
Oh, you know what? Duh, I have read this. I actually shouted it out one time.
Wait, what?
Yeah, this is a good one. I recommend this. I also recommend Sunrise CV's System Universe. It's an isekai. Yes. And cosplays Accidental Summoning if you like more of a YA bent. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Edge K is pretty good.
Edge K is great, and by Travis Baldry, too. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's a good seal of approval.
Yeah. This is no longer the Crit RPG podcast. It is always the Travis Baldry fanboy podcast. And if he ever comes on, I'm basically going to record myself screaming for 10 minutes. And that's going to be the entire show.
I would not blame you. Hold on. There we go. Phew, I lost the browser for a second. But yeah, no, I wouldn't blame you. Yeah, he is an ultimate fave. And God, he puts so much of himself into his voice work.
Yeah.
Luke Daniels, too. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but you know, I'm sorry to shout out my own stuff, but I was like, I almost fell out of my chair and Podium came back at me like, do you want Luke Daniels?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I also, you mentioned All Trades and Michael Eric Sommerer. Excuse me. Michael Eric Sommerer. He is also pretty freaking great. I first encountered him when I was reading or listening to The Perfect Run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he kind of dropped under the radar for a while. I didn't really see that or hear that many books of his, but he's really frigging good. like really freaking good. And if he matches your story, that's also really amazing.
Yeah, I've had the perfect run on my to be read list. Like, my, you have no idea how long it is. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can sort it for you.
It's great. Well, I read all genres, so you're going to see stuff like Julia Quinn on there, you know, the Bridgerton lady and stuff. So I read all ridiculous genres. I share it with the spouse. So, poor guy.
It's okay. Okay.
But yeah, I think that's everything I can think of. Of course, the second that we end this, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I didn't shout out so-and-so, but.
Yeah, it happens. You can always come back on.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go. Maybe we'll come back on after Totem releases.
Okay. So this episode is now, we've been recording for 1.5 hours. So I think this will reduce down to maybe an hour.
Okay.
So I really hope, looking at you, Mystic Neptune, that you're happy now. You said you want a longer episode, so here's a longer episode. No, it's been amazing talking to you, Ray.
Yeah, same here.
And if you've enjoyed this show, go click that follow button, click like, click the bell. Everything that you can do in order to give me that little boost, I really appreciate. And yeah, also, you can check out my Patreon. I have bonus material for every single episode since the 4th. So if you want to, for example, listen to Honor Ray talk about the secrets of geese, or want to listen to Void Herald talk about love advice, you know where to go. All right. Thank you so much. Ray, thank you again.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it has been indeed. I'll see you next time. I hope you can appreciate I chose the most annoying jingle I could, but do you like numbers going up? Well, so do I. Which is why I would like you to like, subscribe, and maybe even check out my Patreon. Recording, editing, and hosting these podcasts takes a lot of money. So yeah, I need funds, you need more content, it's a deal made in heaven. Did I mention the episodes on Patreon are ad-free?